Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2. The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And what a crappy game. What a shame. Good big ups to Baylor. You were definitely the best team last night. I think we underplay, you know, how much it takes out of you when you have that kind of game in the semifinal. Because Gonzaga just wasn't ready to play that game.
It was wire to wire.
Yeah.
Beating wire to wire. It was never a game.
Yeah. No, it was never a game.
Oh, they cut it to 10. Yeah. And immediately Baylor. And there was not enough defense. Well, we got a lot of time to get into all the elements of it. But it was a beating wire to wire. Baylor jumps out 9-0, and you had the sense that, ooh, this might not be good. And before you knew it, it was 19. Gonzaga rarely had it inside of double digits once it got to double digits. And early foul trouble for Jalen Suggs. And Baylor was just the substantially better team.
Yeah.
Like, Baylor looked like they were – it looked like there was – you know, sometimes you can see in a game, well, this is unusual, or this shot's not falling. This just looked like Baylor would get their ass kicked. I mean, I'm sorry. Gonzaga would get their ass kicked by Baylor most games. That's what this looked like. Easy layups and baskets for Baylor on the interior. You know, I told you, remember yesterday, I'm like, yeah, I like Gonzaga. And I went to StatFox and was looking over the numbers. I said, I don't know.
Yeah, you switched on. You said, I like Baylor.
Well, you know why? Because two major factors. Offensive rebounds for Baylor.
Oh, and they offensively rebounded.
They killed them. They were murdering them. It was 13-1 at one point.
Killed them.
Offensive rebounds. It was like, holy moly. I didn't know they had this kind of advantage. When you look at the rebounds for Gonzaga versus the offensive rebounds, and then the three-point shooting, and you realize, man, Gonzaga did not look great defensively against UCLA. They just didn't. And all of a sudden I start thinking, am I on the wrong side of this one? Is it too late? Have I already pushed submit? And I was on the wrong side, and way the wrong side of it. And I think I got it
on the wrong side of it when it was when they were down 19. I was like, I get 8.5. I'm taking it. Boom.
Yeah.
I hit it. I hit it twice.
Yeah.
That's and I was the like, they're coming back. Watch this.
I mean, Baylor was a six-point dog in the second half, and they won the second half. Like, it was Baylor, it was an overall ass-kicking. What an incredible comeback story. You know, the whole thing, until Jim Nance and the production crew started really laying out, I forgot how bad Baylor was. Like, I forgot what a disaster it was when Scott Drew took over. I remember they had all the, you know, all the issues within the program. But remember, everyone took off and left the program. And I started remembering, oh, wait, yeah, they had a guy who was it who left the program that went to a Final Four with another team? Remember that?
The what?
A Houston area guy who left the program from Baylor, and it was at Oklahoma State, wasn't it? He left the program and went to a Final Four with another team. Like, Baylor had talent who they all left. I mean, Baylor's talent all left. It was like a death sentence to their program when all that stuff went down, and they hit rock bottom. But I forgot how bad it was for Baylor in the early years, and they stuck it out with Scott Drew.
Yeah,
and
he had 21 wins in the first 3 years.
That was incredible.
Yeah,
when I heard that, I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. And to win a national championship. And then they showed his introductory press conference where he said, I came here to win tournament games. And then he said, I came here to win a national championship. Well, I do remember thinking, shut up. That's just coach talk.
Yeah.
That's stupid. We believe that Rice can win a national title in football. Like, I would never give that any credence.
No, but he got 18 years to do it. I mean, and you don't normally get that.
Sometimes
you got to
give guys 18 years.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what coaches should be saying.
They believed in
them, listen.
You got to give it up. The first 3 years, it's not the same world right now as it was in 2003. But right now, you start with 21 wins in the first 3 years.
Well, he would have been
that
gone.
Means you've got 69 losses. You ain't. Yeah, you're gone.
He would have been gone. But they understood this is a long haul. Or he sold them on the vision that this is going to take 5 years. Because most coaches believe that. And when you try to resurrect a program, it does take that long. I mean, you've got to get players in. And then the players have to play well. And you're not getting 5 stars there at Baylor. So you need to have guys who play together 3-4 years. Just when Tulane came back, so when I was at Tulane, they had literally just come back from a point-shaving scandal that had literally they shut down their entire basketball program. They didn't have a basketball program. So when I was a freshman, we didn't have a basketball team, but the basketball team came that they had. The basketball team started coming in that summer, and I would play with them. I'd get in runs at the gym because I lived there in the summer, so Greg Gary, who's head coach somewhere now, and G.J. Hunter, and all these guys, Carlin Hartman, our friend Carlin, they would all come into the gym, but they didn't have 10. They had 9, so I would get into runs with them. And they played their first year, and you know, this is your first Perry Clark's first recruiting class. They took ass kickings, but they made it to the tournament the second year that they came back which is incredible. They had a bunch of sophomores, a couple of guys who transferred in, like Michael Christian and there was one other guy, but it was amazing to come back from that. Well, Scott Drew came back from probably the same thing, but it took him 18 years. Now, it took Tulane less than that, but there was an excitement about joining a new program. Baylor didn't have a good look. It's a whole lot easier selling a kid on New Orleans than Waco, number one, I would imagine, and then number two, That program had some funk on it. Mm-hmm. It had some serious funk on it. And Scott, man, what Scott Drew has done, and he, listen, this has been a while now, John. We say he's had 18 years to do it. Scott Drew has been, they've been a serious contender for a while now. I mean, he maybe won it the first time in 18 years, but that Baylor team has been good. He's had good Baylor teams. This isn't the first, like, finally, he had a good team. There's been some good Baylor.
No,
teams. There's been some talent over there.
Yeah, no. He's been good for a while. He's a good coach. I mean, again, he had his issues early on. I think a lot of people were, I know a lot of people were pissed at him. His negative recruiting. A lot of people thought that he was cheating.
Late recruiting people. He was after they had committed. Yeah, I know there were thoughts he was doing things.
Now
the right
it's
way.
It's a little bit different world in the recruiting world in that.
Openly
with cheating. With the transfer portal that you
I thought you were gonna say now you can openly cheat.
No. Well, I mean, there was the thought that there's no proof. There's never been any accusations. There's never been anything.
No.
But a lot of coaches just did not like Scott Drew. I think he's changed that narrative though. I mean, because we've seen him with other coaches now. In the past, I'm telling you, there was coaches after games wouldn't even shake hands with him. I know coaches that just couldn't stand the dude, and I think that's changing now, and especially now with a national championship. Although, you know, I'm not sure that everybody thought that he was on the up and up all the time. You never know how. Listen, Calipari and Nick Saban and all the best of them, they've got their pasts, and if you think they don't, you're wrong. They've all got their pasts. And if Scott Drew is doing it right now and maybe, overstepped a little bit in the beginning, oh, well, he's doing it. He's doing it, and he's doing it better than anybody. And everybody's got an opportunity to go out and do it. That was a great team. Holy crap. How about their three-point shooting? How about, I mean, Teague couldn't miss anything.
Listen, they shoot Butler
41%. He's so silky smooth. Davion Mitchell, how do you stop that guy? Vital was just tremendous. Everything. They had everything going, and Gonzaga had nothing. Had nothing left in
Vital
the tank.
Was the killer because he kept, like, every little...
Everything.
Nagging little thing he could do to keep... Like, he was making these plays. And, you know, Butler was a guy who had not been shooting the ball well in the tournament until recently.
No.
And he started draining threes. But I thought the big difference is also when you watch, like, look how many easy baskets Baylor got in the paint and second chances. It was unbelievable. And then on the other side of the court, man, that was extended pressure that was sticking to Gonzaga. Baylor's pressure, and I kind of noticed something in the middle of the game. I tweeted it later, but Baylor just never jumps on their closeouts. They stay on the ground, and so when you try to fake, like it was like when Kispert tried to give him a pump, he pumped it and he jumped up in the air, but Baylor didn't go flying by on the fake, on his fake. They don't fly by. They stay on the ground, and they don't let you have a chance to pump them and go around, and that's a sign of a well-coached team and a disciplined team. Baylor has good discipline. They're well-coached. They play defense extraordinarily well from a standpoint of, you know, the fundamentals. And then it was really Baylor. It was just Baylor had got too many shots.
Yeah. Oh my God, they had 16 more shots in the first half.
I don't think that changes, though, with more rest for Gonzaga. That's a fundamental flaw in Gonzaga's
game. Well, yeah, maybe. Or it was Baylor had a lot more energy on the boards, and they were grabbing everything.
I think Gonzaga, well, clearly Gonzaga could play way better than that.
Yes, but that was the worst game they played.
I think Baylor's the better team more than 50% of the time. I just think styles make fights, and their ability to hit the offensive boards with their bigs, like, it is true. I thought this was true mainly in the tournament. Have you noticed how many players? Raheel finally said something on our group thread, but this has been a tournament where I'm like, did guys stop lifting weights over the last 5 or 6 years? Nobody. Gonzaga's a throwback team in that they have very few guys that have any muscular definition. Yeah. Like, they look like old school basketball.
That one Baylor, holy crap. Well, between Vital and Chachua and
well, their bigs were bigs.
And Tumba, yeah. They're big. Holy crap. Those guys lift.
And they're long. And how many shots got blocked when Gonzaga tried to go on the paint? There were shots getting slapped around the whole game.
They're only 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, long as hell, though.
Yeah. 7-11 ESPN 97.5. Mel, you'll be first up. Anybody wants to talk about Baylor, you're more than welcome. We got Astros talk about. We got some Texan stuff that we need to get to as well. We're just getting it started here on ESPN 97.5. I'm talking about GimmeTheVin.com. I'm talking about my man, John Claywell. He chimed in yesterday. I tweeted out a beer, and he had some derogatory things to say.
About beer?
About beer. About my choice of beer. And you know what? I have to put him in his place. Coors Light is legit. John Claywell, I don't care what you think. I'm not going to hold it against you, but here's the deal, is if you want to buy cars from people, then you know what? You're going to have to live with yourself the way that you talked about Coors Light. I don't condone it. I do not condone his derogatory comments about Coors Light, and he's with us here on ESPN 97.5. John Clay Wolf, how are you?
My comments were, I used to drink that when I was a boy, and I dropped my business,
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure your business has dropped yet, so I'm not believing anything you say about that. But what we need, John Clay Wolf, is you to stop making comments about my Coors Light and my addiction to it. Okay, so I don't need any of that in my life. Just so you know.
I have a question: how many beers, 12-ounce beers, 16-ounce beers, do you consume weekly?
Weekly. I don't want to put a limit on myself.
Well, let's break it down into buckets.
Well, if I'm on a roll, I can throw down a good, 18 or so. I don't know if I'm on a roll one night.
How many nights a week?
Not that many. I like to overplay. A couple, three.
Three, and when we have a sitting, is it
some nights less than other? Others. Why are you putting limitations on anyone?
I don't want to say a number, and then
I got to stick to that. No. Because every week is different. Every day is different, John Clay Wolf. What's your drink of choice?
I think I'm about three sittings a week with 5 to 8 at a sitting.
Nice. Well, try Coors Light, and you'll be able to, you can drink more because you'll love it more. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
Well, thank you.
All right, and do this. Maybe you go to auction not hungover, and maybe you can buy more cars from people at GiveMeTheVin.com if you're not hungover. That would be great. That would be great if you did that.
Have you heard my new co-host on the radio yet?
No.
She's an African-American, 50-year-old therapist from South California.
Does she know Deshaun Watson?
Oh. I don't know.
Give me the Venn.com.
Give me the Venn.com. That's give me the Venn.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This will do it. This will do it. Scott Drew's dream comes true. Coach Drew and Baylor complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
Texas forever, Street.
Texas forever.
What are you? You are Texas forever, aren't you, Del? You were smiling the whole time.
Told y'all yesterday.
I was disgusted.
Texas forever.
You wanted it. Del wanted the Schadenfreude of Baylor upsetting and ruining the perfect season. Boy, they did. It was a no-brainer, no doubter. Baylor with a butt kicking. Let's get Mel in here. He wants to talk about that game. What's going on, Mel? How you doing?
The commentators on both radio and TV was waiting on Gonzaga to hit this button and all of a sudden be ahead, but it just never happened.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I thought so. I thought they were going to hit the button. They didn't.
By halftime, it looked like a problem with more than just they couldn't hit a button. It looked like there was fundamental weaknesses in their game that they couldn't handle with Baylor. Most of it, ironically, was the big man issue.
Well, that was the first game we've seen. I mean, that was their worst game. There's no question about that. I thought when they cut it to 10 at the half, I thought, you know what? Now we're going to see the real. But how about hitting some threes?
But did you see how Timmy got his ass kicked?
Baylor hit every. They hit some three. They were a much better shooting team than they showed. Baylor did a wonderful, wonderful job, but Gonzaga just didn't play anywhere close to what Gonzaga could have played like. Anywhere near. On the offensive end, forget the defensive end. On the offensive end, they sucked. They were terrible.
Yeah. What else, Mel?
That's about it. Great win for Baylor.
Yep. Great win for Baylor.
Baylor, great win. And Baylor looked like the better team. I know they didn't play well, but that was a great case of why Timmy probably is not a great NBA candidate. The problem is he's 6'10" and can't rebound at all. I mean, he was getting the break speed off him. Those guys, just athletic leapers, really were putting it on him. He's got low post game, like the Leitner game, but that doesn't exist. The problem is that doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. Like that's a problem. Is you have guys who are skilled post players. And it's like there's not a place for – something's wrong with the NBA where you don't even have a – there's not even a place for guys with skill in the post. It's just so weird. I look at Timmy, I think, well, he's not a pro player. He doesn't shoot threes.
Well, he can't – that dude ain't getting position in the NBA. He was getting bullied off the block.
Right, he had a hard time yesterday. And then when they fronted him
– the only way Timmy would survive would become a guy who can be a stretch big because he can't battle down there.
No.
He's not a guy.
Murdered on the board. Like, he just wasn't strong. He is skilled down in the low block when it's one-on-one and stuff like that, but it's not really the way the game's
played. We saw, Baylor collected a lot of fouls in the first half. Their defensive pressure, they went after everything, but he wouldn't get calls on the block in the NBA, and he would just get pummeled.
That's what Baylor's bigs are like a Baylor. That's what bigs are in the NBA. Tall guys who are long, who block shots, protect the rim, and grab rebounds.
And Baylor's
they're big, not made for getting points anymore, bigs.
And it's interesting to watch. You mentioned that how Baylor's bigs understood what they were. You didn't see a lot of, even when they got offensive rebounds.
They didn't go back up.
It was like, look, we're not here for that. We'll get it back to our guards who dominated that game. Mitchell's ball pressure on anyone who handled the basketball was, he just, he they, what they did was speed Gonzaga up. As much as skill as Gonzaga has, we watched Baylor just as skilled but more athletic, and they sped them up. Gonzaga played, they like to play fast in the break, but they don't like playing fast in half court. They like to be at their own pace, and Baylor sped them up. They couldn't get by them. You saw Mitchell out front. He continued to put pressure on them, and Gonzaga never felt like they were at their own pace, particularly in that first half. Nope. It was like, man, you just watch guys with potential NBA game. Now, we know Suggs and Kispert apparently are certainly going to be lottery picks. Kispert, we saw yesterday, could be a lottery pick, but you just looked at the athleticism on the other side and, like, there's no comparison. Particularly on the defensive
end. I want to tell you what,
Davion. I didn't think it was that bad, but it was really obvious.
I want to tell you what, Davion Mitchell, I think he's making
Davion himself serious.
Davion is serious.
Well, so Jonathan Givony was talking about that matchup, and he said he's the NBA draft analyst for ESPN. He's like, Mitchell on Suggs is a serious matchup. He goes, these two guys can really defend. They both have a lot of offense. Suggs was clearly the best. You could see his frustration start boiling up in that game. It's really, really going to be – I think Suggs is going to be tremendous.
Yep.
I think he's such a good
back. And you know Gonzaga shot over 50% from the field?
They did?
They looked like crap.
Yeah, they were bad from three. But
They ended up – you know what? At one point, they were like 1 for 11 from three.
They finished 5 for 17. But over from two, Suggs
hit a couple in a row. They hit them late.
Yeah, from two, they were fine. I mean, 25, 49, 51%, but it didn't feel like it.
No, it sure didn't. Sure didn't. Well, how many turnovers, too? And how many offensive rebounds? 16 more shots in the first half for Baylor. 16. And that's ridiculous.
The total wound
for
up
a game, let alone a half.
And Baylor certainly, we talk, when well, the Rockets were good, we talk about the game of math. The Rockets, I mean, the Baylor in this case went 10 for 23 from three, and Gonzaga 5 for 17. There's your difference right there.
Well, on the offense. Partly,
yeah, certainly 16-5, but some of those offensive boards turned into open jumpers and Baylor hit a lot of them.
All right, 722 ESPN, 97.5.
50% Gonzaga? Well,
they didn't look like it at all. Let's talk about the Astros, and they jump out again last night.
Dog it.
And
quick 4-0, man.
And
I was like, ha ha, suck it, Angels.
Well,
I was thinking, is this going to be 160? Is this going to be a quest for 162?
Well, it could have been 162, but it just really wasn't. And then Garcia got in trouble in the fourth, and you know your starters have got to go more than the right now. Dusty talked about it afterwards, and we'll bring up that sound on a little bit later. So you know, early on in the season, your starters aren't going to get. But I don't know that he's got anybody that he trusts. You know, a manager's got to trust a guy to be able to get through, you know, some tough times the second time through the lineup. This lineup is better than the A's, especially when you hit Trout, Rendon, Upton, Pujols. There's going to be some problems in there, and there were some problems. Trout hit a tremendous bomb. And Luis Garcia, I'm going to tell you what, Stanek, I mean, early on, Ryan Stanek has looked really, really good. That's a guy that has come in already in game situations early in, you know, and just shut stuff down. He and Abreu early on are the toast of the bullpen so far. Holy crap. Abreu looked good again last night. And Stanek looks like you can bring him in with a bases loaded situation and get guys out.
It's like last year where you had, you didn't even know who the bullpen staff was. You're like, who is this guy? Yeah. Who is this guy? The same thing with Stanek. You know, Abreu from last year, he was the guy with all the love and attention, just didn't perform up to par. But you saw his stuff. I mean, his stuff is really good. He's got a nasty curveball. If Abreu is the potential longtime closer. That's Abreu has that kind of, he has a plus fastball. He has a sharp, biting, breaking ball.
Big, strong guy.
Big, strong guy. He has the type of makeup, I would think. I don't know about makeup, but it's the type of profile.
I wouldn't mind. You know what? I like where Stanek is right now, but that dude can come in and get you. I mean, he looks like it too, man. He looks. It's early on, and everybody's got, you know, but he's still Ryan Stanek, and he's still Brian Abreu. We'll see.
Yeah.
But early on, I'm candidates for that job. Well, we'll see when Baez comes back, and we'll see. You know what? We've seen out of these starts already. And this was the way too. Javier can give you 2-3 of really good innings, and then you got to watch. But the second time through the lineup, but he can be dominant early on. And maybe that's Luis Garcia, too. We've seen Luis Garcia in a big situation throw beautiful ball, and then all of a sudden he'll wear down. I mean, he's a little bit heavier guy, so maybe he's built for a couple innings and then pull him and then get him out of there. That was the case last night. He threw three beautiful innings, and then in the fourth, he's
a guy who'll be gone. As soon as the pitching staff looks like it looks, he's a middle reliever.
Yeah. No. I mean, but that he can give you a couple innings of really good.
No, that's what I mean.
Look really good.
I mean, he'll be that guy in the bullpen.
It'll be interesting to see, because when Odorizzi comes back next week, or later this week, when Fromber comes
back.
So
for the first time, there was a hint from Todd Callis game before last where he made it sound like it'd be the second half of the season. He just kind of subtly, you know, when Fromber comes back, I'm thinking maybe second half of the season. Well, he obviously knows something. I mean, he's on the broadcast. He talks to people with the team. I think that's probably the thought is Fromber sometime. And so we may be a little longer than we were thinking with Fromber.
I think it's going to be next week, but okay.
Yeah. Todd Callis thinks second half of the season.
Well, that's Todd Callis. He can think what he wants. I mean,
just because he's
who's with the team. Well, I don't even know. I don't think they are with the team. They're not with the team, I don't believe.
I bet they are this year.
I don't think so. I think they're back. No, I don't think they are. I think they're doing it from here.
Well, because Julia's in her studio
and
at Fox or no, wherever is it? No, we're not Root Sports.
I'm not sure
which one is it. AT&T Sports.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think that they are. I don't know. I think Blummer made reference to something like that. You know, we're not there. We can't see or whatever. But
it could be.
How about the trash cans on the field? How awesome!
Okay, so yesterday. If you didn't see it, yesterday was a much more aggressive.
Yes.
The Angels fans brought it. The A's did not. There was an actual big giant trash can thrown on, which they took a trash can from the – because my thought was, how the hell did you sneak a trash can?
It was one from the
building. It had some plastic bottles. There was a blow-up trash can that was thrown on the field. Then a real one got chunked out there. Dusty Baker said – here's Dusty Baker's comments. This is the first time it sounded like it actually got to the Astros a little bit. Dusty said, you can tell the amount of hostility and the amount of hatred in the stands. How many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life? We paid the price for it. How many people have not cheated on a test or whatever at some point in time? I mean, it's easy if you live in glass houses, but I don't think anybody lives in glass houses. I think that sometimes we need to look at ourselves before you spew hate on somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's a sad situation for America to me when you hear things. I mean, what are the kids supposed to think in the stands? And some of them are the kids that are following their parents. It's sad to me. People make mistakes. We paid for ours. I wish they'd leave it alone. I got bad news for you, Dusty.
Hey.
That's the beginning.
And that's fine. So what? Bring it.
I hope Dusty doesn't.
You know what? I hope
Dusty doesn't keep doing that, because there's nothing you can do about it.
No, but you know what? I hope that those people that are throwing trash cans on the field got something for it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not. They were like, okay, move up.
Yeah, they got an Angels hat.
They might have.
And a free ice cream.
A Pujols bat.
Yeah,
and
like that.
This is the FedEx movement. You know, this is your chance to upgrade with UPS. And they move them to the really best seats. You know, one of those things where they show them in the fifth inning of family. Who's been yelling MF in the Astros and throwing stuff on the field, and they're waving with the in-house camera, and there's the Raheel just talking to him. What do you think? So when you guys threw that stuff on the field, did you think that you would be moving up to these seats? We didn't know if we'd be moving, but we're so thankful. Thank you, Angels. Let's go, Angels!
And there's a kid.
Blue Astros!
There's a kid in the background mouthing F. Bregman.
Yeah. And that's what you get. And then they get to get – and then he goes like this. Angels! And then he says like
no,
that.
No, it's like Roughnecks.
Kind of like Roughnecks, but he says Angels.
Who said the Rangers?
Angels! Somebody, whoever the in-house guy is for the Angels, probably doing that.
No, that's terrible.
When they move
Don't be stealing. Don't be stealing. All right, 730 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
I invited somebody to listen. Look what you did. I invited somebody to listen, or... Mr. Cornelius, Keith Cornelius' dad,
yeah,
he's listening. He said, big U of H fan. He said, hey, what? I got this in the morning, right? 6:24. What time for your show? And what channel? And I said, 97.5 or 92.5. Starts at 7 a.m. Cool. This is a text I get from. What was that about? You guys go from talking about how many beers John can drink to a 50-year-old African-American woman in a sorority from South Carolina. What the hell was that? I just said, that's John Clay Wolf. I can't.
You can't
control
that. How do
you explain
that?
John Clay Wolf?
You can't. 731 ESPN 97.5. What I can explain is HRMP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. If you're looking for the best way to get your payroll done, people, do you have 15 or more employees? Are you doing this yourself? Is your business growing? If your business is growing, take the payroll out of it, because those are people that you're paying that are not actually making you money, because you can do it more affordably through HRMP. This is a fact, people. And oh, by the way, the mistakes that your people will make doing the payroll for you or whatever, especially when you're getting into 15, 20, 25, 30 employees, then you know what? You need to manage people. You need to worry about your widgets, whatever you're making. You don't need to be worried about the payroll. That is so simple for someone, and especially someone like HRMP, who do this every single day. They are great at this. They're wonderful. We love them. Never any mistakes. If you've got any questions, call up here and ask Laura Beavers. She is our CFO, and she will tell you all about HRMP. They're wonderful. You will love them. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You've never seen LeBron.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, the thing about it is when you start the season, you know, you don't get long innings out of your starter. And if they have one bad pitch inning, then, you know, we're hoping that they go five or five in a fraction. And then when that doesn't happen, then you got to go to your bullpen. And so, you know, the bullpen's been good. I mean, everybody's been good. You know, they just took it from us tonight.
They did. The Angels, a better team than you've just faced in the A's. I can see where people were high on this Angels team beforehand. Astros, let's get out of there tonight. Get you a win with your ace, Greinke, on the mound, and then get back here, take a day off, and then get back here and Mike Fiers and the A's come to town. And we'll see, you know, hopefully we'll see Mike Fiers pitch in this one. We saw their left fielder pitch. Apparently we saw their left fielder pitch before we saw Mike Fiers. That was a tweet out there this week. And that it is true. Over the last 2 years, Mike Fiers has been able to avoid
spot the lies in that, spot the lies in that tweet.
There are none.
Yep.
Zero. So your headlines were Gonzaga just falling apart, Baylor winning the national championship, Astros bullpen falters, Rockets lost. Man, did they make that one scary too. Holy crap. 133-130. We're trying scary. Way too hard.
They're
again.
They're closing out games, though. They're closers.
Yeah, well, but
Christian Wood's got a bad ankle, too. We didn't even talk about that yesterday.
Yeah, but he, you know what? He toughs it out. I'm a little worried about Christian Wood toughing that stuff out. But fortunately, the T-Wolves won. Way to go, T-Wolves. Yeah. Pistons won as well. So here's where we are.
Where are
we now? The Astros are just a half game out of last place.
Not the Astros.
I mean, the Rockets are just a half game out of last place.
Don't jinx it, John.
The Rockets are a half game out of last place. They're 13-37, while the T-Wolves are 13-38. We can catch them. We can catch them.
Well, Kelly Olynyk better stop shooting the basketball.
I know, dude.
Knock it off.
What is wrong with you? You don't know what we're doing around here, Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, well, like I said
he's
yesterday.
He's trying to get his.
He's a free agent.
Like, I'm in my 30s. I need to get a second
one more
contract.
Deal. Kelly one more Olynyk big deal.
You know what he does? You know what Kelly Olynyk does? He's like, oh, my God, is this the team that had gave Ryan Anderson that money?
No.
I could be there. He doesn't realize that was Maury. That was Daryl.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the team with Anderson. Oh, dude, He was over 30 when he got his. I can totally do this.
Gave Eric Gordon 18 or 19.
Yeah, but he sees Ryan Anderson in himself.
Oh. Well, no one sees that. I mean, that's ridiculous. Why do you think he sees Ryan Anderson in himself? No one sees Ryan Anderson in themselves.
You act like Ryan Anderson was always a scrub. He wasn't always a scrub.
Detroit with is 15 and 35, so you're building a nice lead. And that's just third place. You just got to worry about fourth place, and that's Orlando at 17 and 33. Thank you, Orlando. So you're building up a really nice lead. You got a four-game lead over fourth place, which is vital, vital right now in the race to stay, well, to at least have a chance, mm-hmm. the best chance to finish in the top four.
And the Rockets are back to a familiar spot, have the longest losing streak in basketball again.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. At five, they're familiar with that standing. Could they get to multiple 10-plus game losing streaks in the season in one season?
Oh, sure.
Do you think they got it in them?
I think it's totally possible. Why do you think they can't do something extraordinary? This is an extraordinary team.
I'm trying to see if they can. Could they get to like 15 or 20 again?
Extraordinary.
No.
Dude, the second half here, the teams that they're playing, they absolutely can. Have you seen their schedule?
Here's the problem. This is a serious problem. Kelly Olynyk, since he's been added to the rock as just some throw in, you guys sitting here, oh, we can't catch the bit, and we can't Jared Allen. Kelly Olynyk's like, I'm sorry, are they going to put 16, 25, 14, 10, 26, and 21 on you?
Oof.
He's hit 20 in three of his six games.
His lowest shooting percentage since the trade is 50%.
Yeah, his lowest. And that's with him shooting. He was 5 of 13 one time from the three-point line. He was 0 of 5 from the three-point line in his second game, but 10 of 17 from the field total, which obviously means he was 10 of 12. This dude, Kelly Olynyk, is killing it right now.
You got to limit his minutes. There's no question.
And leading up to the trade in Miami, he was 1 for 2, 2 for 11, 3 for 11, 0 for 6.
Yeah, well, guess what?
The Rockets have turned.
Well, probably he's one of those guys who got...
Miami's a toxic culture.
Sure it is. He probably got affected by trade talks. He kind of clenched up a little bit. Now that he knows where he is, he's like, I'm just going
to
shoot.
Either that or Brent Strom got to him.
Well, it's like Jeff Van Gundy's always said. When you talk about somebody scoring a lot of points for Sacramento, I remember he famously said,
"Well,
somebody's got to score on bad teams.
Yeah.
You can't just have a bad team not score. If you're scoring on a bad team, you're a scorer on a bad team. That doesn't make you a good player. That makes you a guy who's scoring the points for a bad team." No, that's true.
But he's scoring at an efficient rate.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's not like it's 20 shots
that he flipped Kelly Olynyk for a first.
You also got Christian Wood. We don't need too many guys who score on a bad team.
No, but I'm just saying for the future, can we flip Kelly Olynyk?
The trade deadline is long gone.
No, but I mean next year.
He's a free agent.
Okay. How much are we giving Kelly? If we were going to give Oladipo 22 and a half, what's Kelly Olynyk, 24?
Kelly Olynyk's just going bye-bye.
No. You don't let that go.
Well, yeah, you do. A 30-year-old, you don't need that in your life.
A 30-year-old who's got his second win?
Yeah, okay, give him an Eric Gordon contract. That'd be great. So they've got five straight losses, right? They've got next up is Dallas. How's that going to work out?
Well, Porzingis won't be playing in that one because, surprisingly enough, he's hurt again.
Oh, really?
Surprising.
Does he ever play for them? Does he ever play?
There's already rumors about them trying to move him.
Oh, no, they've been trying to move him. Yeah, That's over. He can't. Their trade deadline's gone. Dallas?
No, but I mean, they already don't want him in Dallas.
Well, because he can never stay on the floor.
At the Clippers, at Golden State. Just stop me when they win.
Okay.
At Golden State, at Phoenix, Indiana.
Indiana's Denver. Not great.
Indiana? Really?
No, not good. I mean, it can be. I mean, that's a chance. If they can play with the Suns, they can play with the Pacers.
They can't play with the Pacers.
Yes, they can. The Pacers stink. They can play with the Pacers.
Okay. Well, let's just take a look. Oh, they got canceled last time. The time before that, they played the Pacers. Yeah, they lost. They lost by seven.
They could play with the Pacers.
And that was when they had James.
Well, okay, James wasn't trying. The Pacers. Yes, they can. The Pacers stink. If they can play with the teams they're playing with, not that they'll win, but let's keep going. That's a chance for a win. Is that a home game?
Orlando.
Okay,
hold on a second.
Orlando, who doesn't have anybody, there's a chance there.
Okay, Let's take a look at Orlando since that trade. They're 2-2,
uh-huh.
which is way better than the
That's
Rockets.
Fine, but it doesn't mean they can't win. That's all. I'm not saying they will win. That's an opportunity.
No. They got an opportunity. Oh, listen. I would say not everybody. But then, okay, so they got Indiana and Orlando.
Those are the two
on
right
14th
now.
And 18th, and they got Denver in between them. At Miami, Utah, L.A., Denver, and then you wait till April 27th for the big rematch against Minnesota, a big game.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, if they get through the Pacers, and by get through, I mean lose, and get through Orlando with another loss, then you can see this thing stretching out to 10-plus until you see the Timberwolves again.
Yeah.
That's all. You just got to hope the team, maybe Christian Wood sits out a game because of the ankle.
I think we're going to be fine.
Listen, I think they're focused.
Guys, I think they're going to be fine.
I think they're focused. I think they're focused on losing, and they're doing a hell of a job.
Even with a guy having the best six-game run of his career, they still can't pull off wins.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be fine, guys.
I think we're all right. You know, you got to fade Olynyk, but okay.
I think I need Cade Cunningham to go first to somebody for them to get fooled by that guy. So Jalen Suggs is a Rocket.
Yep.
I need Jalen Suggs as a Rocket.
Yeah, I don't want the number one pick just because Cade Cunningham might be that choice.
I can't believe you are telling me that that's choice. The first round.
No, he's a perfect.
He's going number one.
He's going number one.
I don't know who he's going to, but he's going number one.
Yeah, no.
And help Mobley go second. I don't care.
No, God, I don't need that in my life either.
Great.
No. No, we got Mobley. We got Christian Wood. We don't need that.
The Rockets should get Jalen Suggs assigned to us.
What?
We need to start having the NBA assign players to teams so they can't just go somewhere with just a draft. Just let us have Mobley.
Yeah, the commissioner needs to step in.
He needs to step in on this.
Why does the commissioner care about who the Rockets get?
Because we have a good TV market, Dell.
Speaking of commissioner stepping in, boy, did he step in it yesterday, the commissioner of baseball. Our friend. Hey, where's that letter, that New York letter? Is that?
They can't find it.
Okay. 743 ESPN 97.5. By the way, he chose. We'll talk about it on the other side. Baseball caught it a little bit yesterday. We'll talk about that, and we still got to get to Deshaun too. We'll do all that on the other side. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Let it bump, though.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. In case you didn't see, in case you don't know, Major League Baseball has moved its All-Star game from Georgia, who signed some identification. You need identification now to vote in Georgia. Which Major League Baseball and many other, I don't want to get into the politics of it, whatever the case may be, more restrictive laws as far as voting goes. So Major League Baseball took the All-Star game out of Atlanta, and now it's going to be in Coors Field, which, is being pointed out, has more restrictive voting laws than Georgia does. And also Major League offices in New York, which has more restrictive voting laws than Georgia does. So Major League Baseball has been catching it. Did you see the letter from Marco Rubio to No. Rob Manfred?
No.
Cool. It's pretty good. Says, Dear Commissioner Manfred, from Marco Rubio. Dear Commissioner Manfred, I write to ask you whether you intend to maintain your membership at Augusta National Golf Club. As you are well aware, the exclusive members-only club is located in the state of Georgia. Then he goes on to say, blah, 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 talking about moving the All-Star game. Will Major League Baseball now end its engagement with nations that do not hold elections at all, like China and Cuba? Will you end your lucrative financial relationship with Tencent, a company with deep ties to the Communist Party and actively helps the Chinese government hunt down and silence political dissidents?
Boy, the China thing is always the one that can get everybody. In major sports,
yes.
Major sports is so tight. Did this really start? Okay, so I don't know that it started with Yao Ming, because obviously you had... Japan, I mean, baseball is more Japanese, obviously. But I feel like Yao Ming ushered in, we know that it ushered in tremendous financial opportunities for the Rockets. Like Les Alexander, here's the story, and it is accurate. The Rockets doctors went and did a physical of Yao Ming. They came back and said, we got to fail him because of his foot, very high arches. He's going to have foot issues at some point, yada, yada, yada. And then Les Alexander goes, go do it again. Let's see what it comes back with. See if it comes back different. Like, see if it comes back, hey, we can still have him. Because Les understood this was going to open a phenomenal. And Yao was a great player, but they knew it would eventually break down. He did. But it opened up doors that to this day, well, had stayed open.
Mm.
It had stayed open until last year's Twitter, until Daryl tweeted.
Right, right, right. Well, and then LeBron caught, you know, so many people have caught. And you're right, the ties with the China, it's every hypocritical. Sport. Every single sport has ties because of all of the money that the Chinese throw at our major sports. And you know what? But listen, nobody's more hypocritical. Nobody is more hypocritical than Rob Manfred. This Astros thing that he threw them under the bus while he knows that other teams were doing the, and the way that they handled the Red Sox investigation and this New York Yankees letter, all of them. I had him with a Pinocchio nose as my avatar on Twitter for the longest time. And I just, Rob Manfred is the biggest hypocrite. Him taking a picture after the A-Rod investigation, when you watch Screwball, if you watch Screwball, the documentary, and you see at the end Rob Manfred glad-handing it with A-Rod and J-Lo after everything that A-Rod put them through with the steroid investigation, it just shows what a POS Rob Manfred is. I'm sorry. This guy is the worst. Is the worst. So I love Marco Rubio going after him for his hypocrisy, and he is a hypocrite because for them to take the All-Star game away from Atlanta, Atlanta was looking forward to this, their businesses, everything else that was, and you're going to arbitrarily move it to Colorado, who, by the way, doesn't do his homework on this stuff. If, in fact, whatever, all the politics of it, I just can't stand the hypocrisy of Major League Baseball. Where is that flipping New York Yankees letter? Where is that judge ruling on this thing?
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
We haven't seen it, and it was rumored to have come out last summer. We're damn near, we're coming up on a year that supposedly this is going to come out.
It's ridiculous.
Rob Manfred's entire job has been, I think, in his mind, he's been like, I guess, have to try to save baseball as best I can from the negative attention it's going to get after the Astros, because he's been hiding stuff because he doesn't want the fans to know how the sausage is made. And I get that. When he privately had a conversation with the Astros and Red Sox, hey, both of you, cut it out. Yeah. He told the Astros and Red Sox in 18, cut it out, both of you. Stop. We know what you're doing. Stop doing it. Because it was the Astros and it was Cora. Like, the two, they know what they're, you guys are doing your stuff. We need you to stop doing your stuff. Cut it out. He knew it. I don't blame him for not wanting that to get out there.
For saving his biggest franchises?
Yeah. Once it came out, you know what you should have done? Clean the whole thing up. Yeah. So one team doesn't have to bear all of the brunt of this when you know
it wasn't all on him. Anyway, so, but Augusta National, his membership at Augusta National, holy crap. I mean, you want to talk about, that is the, of all of the places for Rob Manfred, with how it wouldn't have an African-American or a female as a member for all of those years, and for Rob Manfred to talk about human rights, to be worried about Georgia's voting laws when he's a member at Augusta National? Holy crap.
Is this a Rob Manfred unilateral decision? Can he make this decision without the owners agreeing?
I don't know. I didn't see any vote on it. Did you?
I don't know.
I think
doesn't
Major
he
League,
work for
probably.
Them?
Probably.
I wonder. I don't know how they run their deal. Like, we know Goodell works for the owners. Can he remove a game from one owner city without consulting with them?
I don't know. How did basketball go about it when they took Charlotte away when the gender
I don't
gender
know that. I don't remember
bathroom thing?
I don't remember how that played out, actually. So.
Yeah. I don't know either. Did he just do it unilaterally, or was there some kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how that worked. They acted pretty swiftly, and you know what? You don't do anything swiftly if you got to have a consensus of the owners. That's for sure. Anyway, I just love it. I just love it. So congratulations, Rob Manfred. I love that you're catching it. I love that you're catching it, as well you should. You suck. You suck, Rob Manfred. Cal spoke about Deshaun. I can't do a Cal. You want to do Cal's voice? You, Del, you want to read this?
No,
Cal's voice?
Cal's I only do Mickey.
Do you want to do Cal voice?
No, I do a Mickey voice. I don't do a Cal voice.
You don't do a Cal?
No, because anything I say with Cal, it's going to be, man, that was insulting.
It's perceived as racist.
Right. I just.
Whoa. Not racist.
Oh, I thought you said.
Is it racist?
No, insulting.
Like, if you imitate Cal's voice, is that racist?
I don't think my.
Does this sound racist? Knowledge is power.
No, that's what he said.
That's a, yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
See, but you, is power.
But you see, can't do a Yao Ming impression, but you can do a Cal impression?
Well, do Yao Ming.
No.
See, I Dell.
No, you didn't. You didn't trick me at all.
Right.
You want me
to do it?
No, we don't want anyone to do a Yao Ming impression.
Okay. I'm going to do it in my voice, Cal. Okay. I'm going to read it like a human being would.
Okay.
You go ahead.
All right. We want to take this opportunity to address the complaint filed with the Houston Police Department.
We want to take this opportunity to file the complaint that was filed with the Houston Police Department.
All right, you're going to translate?
Yeah,
I'm just translating to Cal listeners.
And I'll play.
Okay, do it again.
And I'll play the song.
I'll do it again. Go
we
ahead.
Want to take this opportunity.
Hold on. What do you have?
And I'll play the song that's going in Cal's head while he talks.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Now we have not rehearsed this bit.
No. It's not a bit.
This is what improv looks like, kids.
Okay, ready?
Okay, it's messy, but it's also exciting.
We want to take this opportunity to address the complaint filed with the Houston Police Department.
Thanks for coming. I know you were nice, Bucket Challenge.
And the allegations made in the civil lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson.
I think our quarterback got in some kind of trouble or something.
We want to assure you that we take these allegations very seriously.
This is not good.
As reported, HPD and the National Football League are conducting investigations, and we will cooperate fully.
Tony Busby is my neighbor.
We respect the legal process and will continue to monitor the situation closely.
Where's my guacamole?
While we await the conclusion of these investigations, we express our strong stance against any form of sexual assault.
Seriously, I can't find it, and I also want another bag of chips. I was low on chips. It was just the small pieces that are broken at the bottom. If you still get enough of a handful, you can scoop them and your fingers in and put it into your mouth and get the crunch that you want, but then you have dirty fingers.
Our family and the entire Texans organization are deeply troubled by any form of abuse, and we condemn this type of behavior.
We do not like a lot of the stuff we're hearing.
We will continue to commit resources to help prevent abusive behaviors from occurring in our community and ensure respect for all.
Can I get a Pepsi? Is there Pepsis here?
This is deeply personal to our family and remains a priority.
I need a Pepsi and I need chips now. I'm an owner of a team.
All right, there it is.
So that was, yeah.
That was Cal's statement.
Yeah.
You see Cal's a Pepsi guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think that
or
Cal is just
a Yoo-hoo guy.
Yeah, no, I see Cal as like a straight, because not many people are Pepsi people, it seems. That's more
not
Midwest.
In the South, yeah.
That's more Midwest, and for Cal to say Pepsi.
I drink Cal's, a Diet Pepsi every day.
Cal's not what you would expect an NFL owner to be. But you're Midwest.
I like Pepsi. Diet Pepsi better than Diet Coke.
That's because
you're
Midwest
a Midwestern.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's a Midwestern.
Well, see, I just think it tastes better. You know what?
Because
blind taste test, Pepsi wins.
No, not here. Dr. Pepper does. Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper. And Coke is for the West and East Coast.
Hmm.
We're a Dr. Pepper state. And I know people come in, they're immediately rushing with their Twitter thumbs, as Steve Harvey would say. Get your Twitter thumbs out. And they said Steve Harvey almost ruined the verses. With...
He looked like Darkwing Duck.
Oh, my God. Steve Harvey thought this was just about him. It was Earth, Wind, and Fire versus the Isley Brothers. And Steve Harvey was on there. And apparently, he was reading stuff that people were saying on Twitter. And he was like, go on with Twitter with your Twitter thumbs. But I can tell, if I say something like Texas is a Dr. Pepper state, it will cause people to rush to Twitter to tell me that it's not. But it is. It's definitely not a... I get sad when I see that somebody has Pepsi, that they've given into the Pepsi conglomerate that's probably giving them cut rate prices whenever you go to a store like a sandwich shop or whatever and you see Pepsi, it's just half-pop nonsense. And you're telling me that you like it when you run into a Pepsi
place? No, I love Pepsi. Yeah. And apparently all of this MLB leaving Atlanta stems from Woca-Cola. Woca-Cola has a partnership with Major League Baseball. It'll look bad if Major League Baseball came to Georgia after Woca-Cola already voiced their displeasure with Georgia, says Lamont. That's a real possibility. Well, we'll find out. Okay, we'll see what Coca-Cola does with the Tour Championship this year, which is in Atlanta.
Tour Championship already said we're not moving. They already came out and said that.
The Tour Championship already said.
Tour Championship said nope. Next.
Oh, no. Well, that's golf, too. Don't forget.
Yeah, golf isn't going. Golf ain't. I don't think most are.
And, by the way, Augusta National.
So here's the problem that you're running into. It's funny because now when everyone sits up on their pedestal, I didn't know anything about New York's restrictive, their voting laws. Now you're going to open up the door like,
Wait a minute.
Well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's in direct response to losing an election they didn't think they should lose. New York did it, has done it, and it wasn't a response to anything, I imagine. This isn't, wait a minute. The way we wanted it to go down didn't go down. Let's change things. So I think that's the issue, but whatever.
Right. Because they did it right now.
That's not true because Georgia always says, let's do things like New York. That's
no, they
such
did
a
it.
Georgia
no,
thing
no,
to
they,
say.
No, they did it because no, it didn't go the way they want it.
I know, obviously.
All right, so 713-780-3776.
You know who else lost? Everybody trying to make. Anybody trying to make a little comment about my brisket when they saw how juicy and tender and delicious it was, and they're like, what can I say? What can I say? This guy Jason thought he was going to get something off. Sorry, Jason. You took so many L's, and Texas Star Grill Shop made it a reality. My son Alec, his friend that he goes to school with, his dad saw my brisket on my Instagram, and he's like, hey, text. So all of a sudden, I'm answering questions. Alex's friend is texting my son, and his dad is basically asking questions. What grill do you use? Is it an offset? Is it this? Is it that? Listen, all the answers can be found, and I told him this, at Texas Star Grill Shop. They can get you the Memphis, the Pits and Spits. Maybe you want the DCS. My guy Russell over at Regals, he was telling me about he's been using for years the Saber, which is the infrared cooker that never flares up. Maybe you want the big green egg, which a lot of hardcore barbecuers use. They've got a different grill for no matter what your taste or whatever your desires are, they've got it. They're high-end grills that are built to last for a long, long time, and their performance is off the charts. TexasStarGrillShop.com. Delivery and assembly is guaranteed. They still have a spring sale going on right now, so make sure that you get in on time to get these great prices. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.